Thank you if you have indulged me to join us today on this Employment Law 101 session, which I have totally taken over. So I'm still going to do my Employment Law 101 jazz hands because that's become a thing. But I'm also going to say, look, we're not talking about employment law today in its purest form. We are talking about the new venture that I have started at MPM, which is called MPM Included. And I am beyond excited to have with me the very lovely Rachel Edwards, who's the Chief Strategy Officer for, I would say, my partner in crime, but just to be clear, what we're doing is not criminal, from Kimverse, which is an amazing data company that I was unbelievably lucky to meet at the perfect timing to enhance the offering that I can offer to people. So Rachel, I'm going to apologise to you initially because I am going to rabbit on for about 5 minutes and just leave you sitting there.
And then hopefully, I'm going to do jazz hands.
Thank you for doing the jazz hands. It's a really important part of Employment Law 101. Very much appreciated. But after I've rabbited on a bit about what I've done and why, I'd love for you to talk to us about what you're doing and why, and then we can talk about, you know, our joint philosophy and how we're working together. Is that all right?
Sounds great.
Perfect. So I'm guessing that most of you on here know who we are already, but just in case you don't, MPM Legal is a specialist boutique employment law and business immigration firm. And it now has another arm, as of this week, called MPM Included, which is an inclusion and diversity consultancy. And we are based in Henley-on-Thames, but we have clients all over the country and with some other great law firms very similar to us that we partner with, in fact, all over the world. So that's who we are. Let me tell you a bit about me. So I joined MPM about 5.5 years ago. My background in law is quite varied. I started off at a city law firm, which I absolutely loved. I worked there and briefly for another law firm, in a national law firm that has an office in the city. And then I was sent on to comment to Barclays. I was at Barclays for about 6 years, and then I went in to be the lead employment lawyer for Great Britain at Coca-Cola, where I was for 2.5 years until I came to MPM. So I've had some really good experience of being in the city, at a boutique, and also in between at a corporate. Now, one of the videos that I've done for MPM Included, and you can go and look at the website, it's a page on the MPM Legal page if you want to see more about what we're doing, talks about how, you know, I recognise that there are some things about me that on the face of it don't really require, I'm not very diverse, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And I kind of, part of this is to tell you a bit about me and explain why things aren't entirely as they seem. The first thing is, I grew up in Dagenham and Romford. And for those of you who don't know that part of the world, Dagenham is one of the poorest boroughs in London. I think it is the poorest borough in London, actually. And Romford is part of the London Borough of Havering, which is a little bit more affluent, but still, you know, we're talking East London here. I went to my local comprehensive school, and I was really, really lucky because when I was quite young, I had a teacher who recognised that I was bright and said to my parents that I should be thinking about Oxbridge. Now, I mean, I was really young. I was like 9 or 10. I didn't know anything about it, and neither did my parents, really. It wasn't on our radar. But thanks to that person showing me, just by that conversation, that there was something different outside of our sphere of experience, because my people in my family haven't gone to university for generations. And actually, you don't have to go so far back in my family before actually you find, you know, my great great grandmother was a housemaid. So, you know, yes, I am white and middle class, but actually I come from some really solid working class roots. I worked really hard and I got a place at Cambridge to study law, and that opened an awful lot of doors for me. But my sense of fairness and justice and inequality, it was developed at a very young age and it hasn't ever really left me. And just because I have had, you know, elements of my lifestyle that are incredibly privileged and I'm really, really lucky to have them, it doesn't mean that I've lost sight of who I am, where I came from, and actually how difficult it can be if you are from a non-standard background. So let me give you some examples of that. This is nothing new. I've talked to people about this. I've posted on LinkedIn about it before, but The first law firm I worked at, which I absolutely loved and gave me an amazing grounding in law and frankly made me the lawyer I am today. When I was leaving, I had a look at my personnel file, and on my interview notes, someone had written that I was a little bit Essex and questioned whether there was any substance to me. And at this point, I had a 2-1 in law from Cambridge University, which I'd got via going to a comp. I wasn't from a private school background, but someone felt moved to write that about me because of the way I spoke. I've had all sorts of comments about the way I look, particularly when I was younger, you know, the way I was dressed. I have experienced what it's like to be sexually harassed in the workplace. Because I grew up walking through Romford Market and being catcalled at every opportunity, the way I dealt with that was to tell the person to sod off and grow up. But the fact is, not everyone's in a position where they feel able to do that. So, you know, I've had these experiences in my life. I've cared for a disabled relative whilst trying to hold down a job. I have come back from maternity leave and not felt able to actually just take a day off to look after my little boy when he was poorly, because I was really worried about how that would look and that it might impact on my job or my career. So I think what I'd say to start off with is the reason I've wanted to start this business is because I have seen all manner of injustice, both in my own personal experience and in the experience of family members of mine who suffer from a disability. I have family members. I thought everyone grew up with cousins who were brown, by the way, because part of my family is of West Indian ethnicity and part of Indian ethnicity. And I just assumed everyone had that. Turns out they don't, but there you go. But I've seen how they've been affected. I've heard things that my uncle's called on the street because of the colour of his skin. So again, appearances can be deceptive. And the reason that I have this massive passion for changing the working world is because I grew up and I wanted to be a lawyer because I really, really wanted to change the world and make it fairer. And the realization I think that I've had in the past, I don't know, 20 years since I started as a lawyer, is that being a lawyer is not enough. I can't make enough change as a lawyer and I need to do more. And that's where NPM Included came from. NPM Included was something that's probably grown in my head in the last 4 years or so since the gender pay gap regulations came out, and I started supporting clients not just with calculating their gender pay gap, but also with interventions that they could make to improve the gender pay gap, which, as we all know, is not generally caused because people are being paid in an unequal way, because that's an equal pay issue, and it's been unlawful not to pay people equally on the basis of their gender for nearly 40 years. But actually, because women aren't getting to senior positions for various reasons, including that they choose to have a family, you know. So I started to think about this stuff and what more I could do, and NPM Included grew out of that. And from that, I recognised that there are lots of people doing really great things in this space. But when I spoke to clients about what they were doing, there was a real lack of understanding at times of how to go about this and what to do. And people don't know what to do and they need help. And I kind of figured that I could help them. So I started planning my business, and I noticed that the really key thing that people need, and this is where Rachel and Rob at Kinverse came in with the most perfect timing, the universe was definitely smiling on me, is that people are doing lots of things with incredibly good intention, but they are not knowing where they're starting from. They're not backing up what they're doing with any data. They don't know where they are to start with, so they can't measure their progress. And I really needed a way to do that. And that's where Kinverse came in. So Rachel, that seems like a perfect time for me to stop rabbiting for a minute and for you to talk about Kinverse and what you do and what we're doing together.
Yeah, I think it's interesting listening to you talk about where NPM Included came from, and almost that bias that's quite prevalent in the workplace, and it has been for a long time, and it still features, you know. I think there's a lot of people that a lot of unconscious bias that goes on still to this day, bias in decisions, bias when you're talking about people, bias when you're hiring people. And I think bias plays a big part in the sort of everyday working world, and it affects individuals, and it affects careers, but it also affects organisations as well, from it impacts productivity. It impacts the ability to create diverse teams. It impacts so many different areas of hiring and promoting and talked about.
Don't we, that diverse teams, actually, there is statistical evidence, you know, research carried out by incredibly, thoughtful.
Influential organisations, yeah, research organisations.
Yeah, that shows that if you have diverse teams and if you have inclusion and people feel like they belong, your business can be anything from 12 to 36% more profitable. Yeah. So, I mean, to my mind,
it's absolutely
it's a moral thing, right?
Yeah.
Morals aside for a moment, I don't get why everyone isn't doing this, because it's a commercial benefit to their business.
It is. And I think there's a certain sort of familiarity, isn't there, in the known, a comfort in the familiar is probably a way of putting it. And that's where a lot of bias comes from. And a lot of bias can come from fear as well. So decisions are made, we all make decisions on a bias basis. It's kind of what we know, but it's to the length and the extent of which it negatively impacts other people and the company. And there's, like you say, there's a lot of research out there about the benefits of having diverse teams, diverse perceptions, diversity of thought, and the productivity that comes with it. So it's a kind of a no-brainer in a lot of respects. And I think where Kimverse originally came from was, we're going back a number of years, myself and co-founder Rob. It was very much from the recruitment side, and it was very much around conversations about CVs and how biased CVs are, but how much they're relied on to recruit people. You can't evaluate people from how somebody put themselves out there. It's very difficult, and people get discounted from processes. They get discounted from a lot of things.
And that's businesses, isn't it, Rachel? Because actually, you know, you might whether it's a bias point in terms of sort of gender or race, you know, has this person got an African sounding surname and therefore are they unfamiliar and therefore do I discount them without even really, for example. But it goes beyond that, doesn't it? Because people from a sort of a lower socioeconomic background might not have had access to CV writing class. And you might be missing out. As an organisation, you might be missing out on the best talent, your future CEO. That bias. And I think that's really dangerous for organisations.
It is dangerous. There's a lot of danger in it. There's a lot of mispotential because of assumptions around, you know, names, gender, age, even, and all the minority sort of backgrounds or minority groups, disadvantaged groups, socioeconomic status, you know, like you say, plays a part in it. And it comes down to, you know, we know within the recruiting world that there's a reduced talent pool of people. You know, there's a skills shortage there.
What led you to set up Kimverse in the first place?
It was very much about removing that bias from decisions. And it became quite evident that we have a model where we can profile individuals. And so it's looking at understanding their background through data collection, but it's also about mapping their skills on an anonymous basis to the requirements of an organisation. And that's in the recruitment side of things. So it's a DE&I platform, essentially, that removes bias from decisions, but evidences as well through the data those decisions.
In my really simple terms, as I've seen it, it almost matches your desire as an organization is expressed in a visual way, and then your candidate attributes are layered. So you can see the matching. So actually, it doesn't matter if you're, you know, Joe Smith from Dagenham, or if you're kind of, you know, Zadie Smith, sorry to use the author's name, but can't think of anything else. It doesn't matter whether you've got a foreign sounding surname, or whether you're male or female or old or young. All of that's irrelevant, because it's all about the match of the candidate. Is that
that's it? Yeah. It's about matching talent and a skill and personality and capabilities to what you need as an organisation. And that comes into play in recruiting, but it also comes into play within the organisation as an employee progresses. So once you are hired by a company, you can then look at your career trajectory and match that to career progression. So what do you need to do to get to managerial levels? And it identifies the strengths that you have as an individual compared to what you need. So it's that mapping and that overlay of requirements to skills and abilities. But it goes beyond that, because it's also about looking at an ideal compared to requirements. So we can look at that from a D&I perspective as well. So from an organisational point of view, it kind of comes into very much what we're talking about. From an organisational point of view, it can look at the employee's perception of an organisation compared to your assumptions as a senior management. And there's often a void there between how companies see themselves and how the employees experience that company. So we can match that, but we also have a means of collecting primary data from the candidates or from the employee, which is around the D&I side of things. It's around work aspects as well, and requirements around works, but benefits, as an example. I know last week you were talking about benefits and rewards for employees. And organisations actually providing the benefits that make a difference to an employee, rather than here's a load of stuff. Hopefully there's something in there in, I don't know, sabucho tables or fruit bowls or things like that. Yeah. So it's about what's really going to make a difference to people. What is it they need to create from the benefits package that enables them to have a sense of belonging? Mental health and all those sorts of things are now coming into play. And I think particularly with the younger generations, there is a seismic shift in what they expect from an organization and how they see and view that reputation of the company. And I think you said it last week, you know, people have got to walk the walk now. It's not just saying anymore. You've got to be the type of company that you put yourself out there. And so our platform is very much around being able to benchmark and provide data that evidences a lot of these decisions through the process as well. So,
and it is an amazing platform, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to work with you, because it kind of blew my mind. Now, it's not that hard to blow my mind where text I need to put yourself there. And let me just talk with you a little bit about how we're working together, because it's important to say Kimverse initially was kind of, you and I came together and you and I and Rob came together in this sort of moment of absolute serendipity. But you guys have, separate to what you're doing with me, you have this amazing platform that is starts at recruitment and goes all the way through the employee life cycle to kind of de-bias processes and you know, enable employers, as you said, to work out what their staff actually want and that kind of thing. And we're not going to talk too much about that today, because I want to talk about NPM Included and what we're doing. But that is a whole amazing platform that you guys have that I think is, you know, absolutely something that employers should be thinking about. Now, I think Rachel might have frozen, either that or she's very fixedly staring at me. So Rachel, I don't know whether you want to join us, drop out and join in again. But in the meantime, I'm going to talk a little bit about what I'm doing with Kimverse. So we have worked together to build this amazing tool that basically allows me to do the first part of my D&I process for companies alongside Kimverse. And what that involves doing is using the Kimverse platform in a way that allows us to reach out to employees to allow them to anonymously complete their diversity information, which is stored completely separately, really important for GDPR reasons that's not accessible. And it also allows them to give their views on how included they feel. And that's where that kind of overlay and that visual tool that's used for recruitment is going to be used instead to talk about inclusion and how people feel from an inclusion perspective. And that's going to be something that Kimverse and I do together, which will effectively allow us to audit an organization at the start of our process. Because what I often find is that people have a really clear idea on where they think they've got gaps and where they think they have needs from an IND perspective. And it turns out that actually they don't, because they don't really know what's going on. So that's something that Kimverse and I are going to be doing together. And as I said, it was absolute serendipity that we met at the time that we did, because it's allowed me to present a solution that's incredibly whizzy and modern and works amazingly. So as part of my MPM included process, I'll come to talk to you initially about strategy, and then we'll do a proper audit of, from a diversity perspective and an inclusion perspective, where do you think you are and where are you actually? And that's the first part of the MPM included process. And the next part is then coming back to look at all of that information. Rachel's joining us again. Hooray! You just missed me giving a great big deal about how we are working together. And I've just basically explained how the Kimverse platform, how we've tweaked it to provide this D&I audit. And I did that all by myself, like a big...
Bad timing, that was.
I've moved on. So
I've gone out of explaining the whole thing.
It's explained very much in layman's terms, Rachel, because that's me, laywoman, I should say. So that's me. And what I was just saying is that once we've done the audit with Kimverse initially, that then gives me the opportunity to go back into organisations and say, right, this is where you actually are. So this is. These are your diversity stats, right? So looking at protected characteristics, but also wider than that, socioeconomic, neurodiversity, you know, quite, we've got a really broad base of diversity characteristics that goes far beyond the law. Mm-hmm. And also I was just explaining how we've tweaked that candidate map that you use to actually use that as a kind of, this is how inclusive the employer thinks they are, mm-hmm. and this is how inclusive the employees, or how included the employees feel, and to kind of match those two up. Then I'll come back into your organization and we'll talk about strategy based on that data. And what that then enables us to do is to work together on all the interventions we might want and to make a D&I plan, which I can also help you to deliver. But also, my view is that this is kind of a, I sort of have in my head, there's a low hanging fruit piece. So it's a, okay, what can we do in the first year? And then there's a 3-year process actually to make this change, because anyone who thinks you can make this change like that, I'm afraid, is very wrong. And the idea is that I would work with Kimverse annually to track your progress. But then also I want organizations to be thinking, you know, very sort of, topical with COP26 going on and everything else, what does your organization of 2030 look like? Because that's what you should be shooting for. That should be your kind of, right, this is our aspirational goal. Mm-hmm. So that's MPM included and Kimverse. But Rachel, I know you had some observations about some kind of data and some stuff which is very topical, which is probably a good place for us to sort of move towards ending. So did you want to have a quick chat to people about that before we go?
Yeah, well, I think the challenge is obviously not hearing what you've, how you sort of described it, but some summarised it quite succinctly there. I think what we're seeing in the market is obviously D&I is important. It's a topic of importance that everyone is discussing. There's a lot of momentum behind it, and you know, sort of mentioned at the beginning, it is morally the right thing to do. And building an inclusive organisation is not easy. A lot of people struggle with data. A lot of people struggle with where to start. How do we deal with this? How do we benchmark it? And I think the understanding of what culture should be and what inclusivity is, it's different for different organisations, but I think essentially inclusivity is about recognising different groups and making them, build an environment where they can be productive. And you've got to understand what your organization looks like before you can move on. I think it's not a tick box exercise by any means. It's not about you know, quotas, filling boardrooms with women or you know, minority groups. It's not about that. It's about being inclusive, being productive, and being fair as an organization. and everyone benefits from that. But I think the challenges that organizations are seeing is how to go about this, where to start, how to really make a difference, and how to.
And that's where we come in, right?
Exactly. And that is the difference. It's about building that strategy, building that plan, and it's about doing the right things at the right time as well. And it's only going to become more prevalent as time goes on. We're going to start seeing regulation. The FCA, as an example, the Financial Services Organisation, are consulting at the moment on regulations around diversity and inclusion. And it's very much around changing cultures. So it's going to come, and it's about getting, as an organisation, being strategic about it and getting ahead of it.
I totally agree. Rachel, I think it's a really great place for us to finish, actually, to think about that future pace and where the world is going in terms of the there is an NPM included webpage, as I mentioned at the start of the webinar. So if you go to npmlegal.co.uk, you can click along the top to the NPM included webpage. That also, I'm fairly sure, has a link to the Kimverse website as well. But Rachel, tell us what the Kimverse website is, just in case it doesn't.
It's quite a simple address. It's kinverse.io.
Perfect. So have a look at both of those. Check them out. There's a downloadable infographic on the website that tells you my roadmap through diversity and inclusion, so how I'm proposing to help businesses with this. There's also some videos from me talking about why I'm doing this. Some of it you've seen on the webinar today, but some of it is new content as well. So have a look at that. And if you're interested and you think that I could help you or we could help you, because it's not just about me, Kimverse are doing work with me, but also their own work, then please, please, please drop me a line. My email is sarah@npmlegal.co.uk. And let's arrange time for a chat. I'm always up for a cuppa and a discussion about all of these really important topics. Rachel, thank you so much for coming on. I'm sorry we lost you in the middle, but
yeah, apologies.
Explaining what we're doing together. Yeah. And for everyone who is a regular listener, please tune in next week when Adrienne is going to be making her first appearance on Employment Law 101, along with Peter, to talk about recruitment issues with a particular focus on things like immigration, which of course is their expertise. So same or almost the same time, because we won't be starting late. It'll be an 11 a.m. start, and we look forward to seeing you then. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.